नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 Chapter 12, text 29, 30, 31, 32, and we'll read 33 together. So I'll read the first verses. Tarachana chara deva vayadahe tichak rushaha jash Jarishur ye chakam sadhya konapas twaga bandava. When Krishna entered the mouth of Agasura, the demigods hidden behind the clouds exclaimed, Alas, alas! But the friends of Agasura, like Kamsa and other demons, were jubilant. Tach chutva bhagavan krishnas twavyaya sarvavatsakam. Chuni chikishur atmanam tarasa bhavride gale. When the invincible Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna heard the demigods crying, Alas, alas, from behind the clouds, he immediately enlarged himself within the demon's throat just to save himself and the coward boys, his own associates, from the demon who wished to smash them. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Such are the acts of Krishna, Paritranaya Sadunam, Vinashaya Chaduskritam. By enlarging himself within the throat of the demon, Krishna suffocated and killed him, and at the same time saved himself and his associates from imminent death, and saved the demigods from lamentation. Text 31. Tato Tikayasya Nirunamarjino Hi Udgirno Udgirna Drishter Brahmatas Dvitastata Purnontar Ange Pavano Nirudo Murdan Vinirbidya Vinirgato Bahi. Then, because Krishna had increased the size of his body, the demon extended his own body to a very large size. Nevertheless, his breathing stopped. He suffocated, and his eyes rolled here and there and popped out. The demon's life air, however, could not pass through any outlet, and therefore it finally burst out through a hole in the top of the demon's head. Tenaiva sarveshu bahirgateshu praneshu vatsan surida praetam. Drishya svayo tapya taranvita punar vaktran mukundo bhagavan vinirayao. When all the demon's life air had passed away through that hole in the top of his head, Krishna glanced over the dead calves and coward boys and brought them back to life. Then Mukundo, who can give one liberation, came out from the demon's mouth with his friends and the calves. Text 33. Pinahi Bogotitam Adbutam Mahaj Jyoti Swa Namna Jvalayat Disho Dasa Patiksya Ke Vastitam Isha Nirgamam Vivesha Tasmin Misatam Divaukasam Pinahi Bhogatitam Adbhutam Mahaj ज्योति स्वदम ने ज्वलया दिशोदास प्रतीक्षा के वास्तितम ईश निर्गमाम विवेश तस्मिन् मिसतम दिवावकशाम विनहि भोगतितम अद्भुतमहाज ज्योति स्वदम ने ज्वलया दिशो दास प्रतीक्षा के वास्तितम ईश निर्गमाम विवेश तस्मिन् मिसतम दिवावकशाम विनाहि भोगोचितम् अद्भुतमाज ज्योति स्वदम् ने ज्वलया दिशो दशा प्रतीक्षा के वस्तितम् ईश निर्गमाम् विवेश तस्मिन् मिसतम् दिवावकशाम् भगवतम अद्भुतम महाज भक्ति सदम ना ज्वालया दिशो दशा प्रतीक्षा के वस्तितम ईश निर्गमम विवेश तस्मिन् मिसतम निवावकशम सुतम न प्रलयादि सो दशा प्रतीक्ष के वास्तितम ईश निर्गमम वेश तस्मिन् मिसतम दिवावकशम माताजीस गो अहेड आई एम सॉरी महाज ज्योति स्वदम ना ज्वलया दिशो दशा प्रतीक्षा के वास्तितम ईश निर्गतम विवेश तस्मिन् सतम दिवावकशम माताजीस विनाहि भोगतम अद्भुतम महाज ज्योति स्वदम्ना ज्वलया दिशो दशा इष्टके वास्तितम स निर्गमाम विनाहि भोगितम अद्भुत महाज ज्योति स्वदम ना ज्वलया दिशो दशा प्रतीक्ष के वस्तितम ईश निर्गमम वेश तस्मिन् मिसतम दिवावकशम विना वेरी ग्रेट Ahi boga utitam. Issuing from the serpent's body, which was meant for material enjoyment. Adbutam. Very wonderful. Mahat. Great. Jyoti. Effulgence. Swadamna. By his own illumination. Jwalayat, making glaring. Dishadasa, all the 10 directions. Pratiksha, waiting. Ke, in the sky. Avastitam, individually staying. Ishanirgamam, until the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna came out. Vivesha, entered. Tasmin, in the body of Krishna. Misatam, while observing. Divaukasam, all the demigods. Translation. From the body of the gigantic python, a glaring effulgent came out, illuminating all directions, and stayed individually in the sky until Krishna came out from the corpse's mouth. Then, as all the demigods looked on, the effulgence entered into Krishna's body. Purport. Apparently, the servant named Agasura, because of having received association with Krishna, attained mukti by entering Krishna's body. Entering the body of Krishna is called Sayujya Mukti. But later verses prove that Agasura, like Dantavakra and others, was received Sarupya Mukti. This has been broadly described by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur with references from the Vaishnav Tosani of Srila Jiva Goswami. Agasura attained Sarupya Mukti, being promoted to the Vaikuntha planets to live with the same forearm bodily features as Vishnu. The explanation of how this is so may be summarized as follows. The effulgence came out from the python's body and became purified, attaining spiritual sudasattva, freedom from material contamination, because Krishna had stayed within the serpent's body even after the serpent's death. One may doubt that such a demon full of mischievous activities could attain the liberation of Sarupya or Sayujya, and one may be astonished by this. But Krishna is so kind that in order to drive away such doubts, he had the effulgence, the individual life of the python, wait for some time in its individuality in the presence of all the demigods. Krishna is the full effulgence, and every living being is part and parcel of that effulgence. As proved here, the effulgence is every living being, in every living being, is individual. For some time, the effulgence remained outside the demon's body, individually, and did not mix with the whole effulgence, the Brahma Jyoti. The Brahman effulgence is not visible to material eyes, but to prove that every living being is individual, Krishna had this individual effulgence stay outside the demon's body for some time, for everyone to see. Then Krishna proved that anyone killed by him attains liberation, whether Sayujya, Sarupya, Samipya, or whatever. But the liberation of those who are on the transcendental platform of love and affection is vimukti, special liberation. Thus the serpent first entered the body of Krishna personally and mixed with the Brahman effulgence. This merging is called Sayujya Mukti. But from later verses we find that Agasura attained Sarupya Mukti. Text 38 explains that Agasura attained a body exactly like that of Vishnu, and the verse after that also clearly states that he attained a completely spiritual body like that of Narayan. Therefore, in two or three places, the Bhagavatam has confirmed that Agasura attained Sarupya Mukti. One may then argue, how is it that he mixed with the Brahman effulgence? The answer is that his giant Vijay, after three births, again attained Sarupya Mukti and association with the Lord. Agasura received a similar liberation. Pinahi bhogatitam adbhuta mahaj jyotiswadam nas jwalaya dishodasa. Patiksya kevastitam isha nirgamam Viveshatasmin misitam devau kasam. From the body of the gigantic python, a glaring effulgence came out, illuminating all directions, and stayed individually in the sky until Krishna came out from the corpse's mouth. Then, as all the demigods looked on, the effulgence entered into Krishna's body. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Giranjana Shalakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto his lotus feet. So here, the demon Agasura attained, according to Srila Prabhupada's purport, Sarupya Mukya, Sarupya Mukti. And to prove that, Srila Prabhupada describes from the predecessor acharyas, the demon Agasura, his effulgence, his being, himself, the soul, stayed outside of his body for some time before Krishna came out and he entered the body of Krishna. Krishna did this just to defeat the Mayavadi class of men who say that the ultimate goal of life is to merge into the form of Krishna, is to become one, that we are all Krishna, we are all the one. What do they say? Make me one with everything. The famous saying of the Mayavadis and the pizza goer, make me one with everything. But according to Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam Eko Bahunam Yo Vididati Kamam. We are eternal and God is eternal. We are Chaitanas, we are personalities, and God is the supreme personality. And we are meant to serve that supreme personality of Godhead. Eko bahunam yo vididati kamam. We never become the same as Krishna. We are not Krishna. We are eternally different. At the same time, we have Krishna's qualities in minute quantity. We can reach up to so much percent. What is it? I think Lord Shiva has, I forget the exact percentage, 96% or something. Less. Much less. 80-something. Who said? 80-some percent. Savas Prabhu. 80-some percent. So, we have the qualities of Krishna, but in minute quantity. The Mayavad class of men not only say that the goal is to become one with everything, to merge into the light, but that actually, because at the end of life you're merging into God, actually even in this life, they say, you are God. Great misconception. They think, I am God. I am God, you are God, the dog is God, the horse is God. We were at a retreat this weekend, Temple Bhajan Band, and they had different speakers besides Kirtan. And one of the speakers was speaking the greatness of dogs and horses, how they're so perceptive. And in the middle of the lecture, the two dogs that were there started running around and barking so fiercely and biting each other, these self-controlled advanced super beings, that they had to be removed from the premises. So we have conceptions, so-called. They are misconceptions. We think that we are God. We were at a rainbow festival some years ago, and we were chanting kirtan at the rainbow festival, and one gentleman with long hair and beard and a very hippie looking fellow came up to us and said that today I reached perfection and I am God, and your chanting is for me. Everything is for me. Prabhupada also, in his preaching, came upon so many people that one personality came in New York in the early days. Swami, today at 2:00, I was higher than you. Prabhupada's response was, please accept my humble obeisances. Can you imagine? Some yo-yo, literally, is coming up to Prabhupada and saying, at 2:00 today, I was higher than you, pure devotee of the Lord. And Prabhupada, in his grave humility, said, accept my obeisances. And if you have no other business, kindly, you can go. So this gentleman, similarly, I'm God. I reached perfection this morning, meditating on something, the sunlight, or I think he was playing guitar and playing one note over and over and humming that note. It was insane and irritating, like anything. But due to his meditation, he became God. This is their conception. Yene ravindaksha vamuktamaninas Twayasta bhavad avasuda buddhaya aruya krichena parambaram tata parantiyado nadrita yuzmad angraya. People are thinking, yene ravindaksha vamuktamanina, today I'm liberated. Today, or at this time, I'm higher than you. Vimuktamanina. Twayasta bhavad avasuda buddhaya. But actually, their buddhi, their intelligence, is avasudha, is polluted. Because aruya krichena parampadam tata parandiyado nadrita yuzmad angraya. Because they have no regard for the lotus feet, for service to Lord Krishna and the spiritual master. They want to, Mayavadis want to enjoy being served rather than serve. And the nature of the soul is to serve. The nature of the living entity is to serve. And the pure devotee, he serves without desire for any sense gratification, gross or subtle. Gross, we know, gratification, sense gratification. Subtle, profit, adoration, and distinction. Name and fame. The pure devotee, he serves just like our Srila Prabhupada. He wasn't trying to become some famous yogi with long hair and a beard. He was presented himself and was throughout his lifetime a very humble servant of his spiritual master, and even to the point where Prabhupada didn't push himself forward and in the front. All Prabhupada disciples, all older devotees, and I'm sure many younger devotees have seen, Prabhupada pushed Krishna. And Prabhupada stayed himself in the background. Even on his books, Prabhupada had his picture within the book. Krishna was on the cover. He didn't, like these other gurus and swamis, put their picture and want their adoration and their distinction and their profit. Krishna consciousness, pure devotee, means he's free from desire for profit. He's free from desire for being adored. Everyone wants to be adored from the time we're born. Oh, isn't he cute? Isn't she adorable? Everyone loves that in the beginning. They pinch the baby's cheek. What an adorable baby. As soon as I started to, I came out backwards for some strange reason, and my larynx and things were crushed at birth. So they would always say, oh, doesn't he have an adorable voice? It was actually a birth defect. It was a mundane defect of birth, but people liked that it was different, Chigao. And therefore, I was thinking, oh, I have such a nice voice. Everyone laughs, everyone, and it's adorable. When I was little, they thought. Now they're like, what the heck is wrong with Sarah? Went to the doctor. He said, how long you been smoking for? How many packs you smoke a day? I said, I never smoked a cigarette in my life. He said, what's wrong with your voice? So everyone wants to be adored for their good looks or some characteristic. It's material nature. And we want distinction. We're distinct. We're so special. He said that there was one. We used to go to a yoga studio in San Diego to do kirtan. And the manager of the studio, I think her name was Louise or something. And there was someone else there named Louise in her classes, or that was a teacher. So she had everyone call her officially Special Louise. That was actually her title, Special. Whatever the second name was, I can't remember. But it was Special Louise. And if children today, they're called, oh, he's very special. She's very special. We're taught, especially in Western society, that we're special, to give us distinction. Oh, that one's very special. Even if there's a defect, then that's a special child. That's a, what do they say? Specially challenged, learning different. But it's a great quality. So we learn from a very young age that we're distinct, we're adored, and of course we have to make some profit. Even from a young age, the prophet spirit is there. So what to speak this is material life. When I become older, I'm full of desire. Even I may become free from sense gratification, from combining the senses with their objects, because of knowing, as Bhagavad Gita states, that there's a beginning and an end. That subtle enjoyment of profit, adoration, and distinction is very difficult, extremely difficult to give up. But that is material, and that is sense gratification. Therefore, in our Krishna consciousness movement, no one is particularly given great honor and fame except for the spiritual master and Krishna. Because we know that the more that we get glorified, it's a disservice. If someone glorifies me, it's a disservice. And by Krishna's arrangement, we don't get credit. I was saying before, I was thinking in my mind for years, I wasn't getting credit. Nobody knows the things I do. Nobody's recognizing my prowess in whatever. And then, all of a sudden, the last few years, people from the interfaith and yoga community were coming up to me at Rath Yatra and saying, "Wow, Sarah, you really know how to put on a festival." And giving me credit for Rath Yatra. And my response was, "Thank you very much." I told Savas, I said, "Is this okay? I'm getting credit for what you do as being the manager of ISKCON and the entire Rath Yatra festival and the whole Hare Krishna temple." He said, "Go ahead, take it." I don't know why, but somehow they thought it was me. And I thought, well, you get credit for things that you don't do, but you don't get credit for things that you do do. This is Krishna's arrangement to put us in a position. Krishna wants us to be his humble servant and to get free from sense gratification, gross and subtle, to get free from desire for profit, adoration, and distinction. And therefore, he makes arrangements. I was thinking, I'm not being noticed for anything. As far, some people were like, "Oh, you're still in the movement, Sarah?" Other people was, "I'm amazed, you're still..." Even they told me this weekend, few people. One boy came all the way from Massachusetts. He had been to some of our programs before. He's now part of our society. And he said, "You're still alive?" I was thinking, you get no credit. So Krishna said, "Okay, I'm not going to give you credit. But you want credit, I'll give you credit for something you know you have nothing to do with." We work with the little state. No devotees are concerned. And the yogis and all these people, "My God, sir, put on this big festival." I think one year I wore a staff hat or something. What do they call it? Or one of those. I took from the pile a staff t-shirt, I think it was. And they mistook me for being some kind of leader. And that gratification from something you don't do, I didn't do anything. So what is the gratification? So our devotional service is meant to bring us to a level where we're free from gross and subtle
desires. It's very difficult. Because for lifetimes after lifetime, we've been thinking that I'm special and wanting to be adored. We want everyone to think that we're adorable, to be adored. That's material nature. But ultimately, that has to be given up. Our Srila Prabhupada was free from gross and subtle and wanted us all. Sometimes he'd make jokes or tell true stories. One time sticks out especially. Prabhupada said that when he was 22 years old, he went to see his friends had asked him to come and see his spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta. At the time, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was not his spiritual master. He didn't know him. But his friends were urging him, because Prabhupada said, among my friends, I was known as the leader. He said, you'll be happy to know, in one lecture, Prabhupada says, that amongst my friends, I was known as the leader. So whatever Abhay Charan says, he said, they would follow. Devotees would jai Prabhupada. But these things, Prabhupada said it in such a way, and you knew Prabhupada thought it was actually funny. He wasn't attached to being the leader or attached to hearing glorification. I think there's some quote by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati that when he was glorified, he would run away. Say, no, 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 no. Don't glorify me. One who glorifies me to my face is my enemy. Better to say, you look terrible. I knew one, Mataji, she told me, I like it so much out in the material world. I said, what's the special attraction? And she said to me, in all honesty, a devotee of 15, 20 years, everybody tells me how beautiful I am and what a great person I am. And in ISKCON, nobody says that ever. I was like, well, Krishna thinks you're wonderful and beautiful and all those things. Well, yeah, I think you're wonderful. People want to be noticed. You are wonderful. Thank you very much. So, we are not the light. We are not merging into Krishna. And our activities should be in such a way that we become free from a desire for sense gratification, gross and subtle. And then, by becoming pure in heart and serving Krishna, which is the method to become pure in heart, we will be able to return back to Krishna's abode to be able to engage in his service as separate living entities. All glories to Sri Guru.